This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Again, greetings this morning and welcome to our lesson today. Again, if you would like to contact me, you can get my website address or mailing address and write it down at the close of this program. I'll give it to you then. Again, you can re-listen to this program if you would like to on my website. You can read my weekly meditation on the website. And if you'd like to contact me for any other reason, you can do it either through the website or through the regular mail, and I'll give you those addresses then at the close of the program. Now, for those of you that are listening today, you're probably scurrying around, either getting ready for a service at church, or you're scurrying around getting ready for a nice meal with family and friends as you celebrate what the world has called Christmas. Now, I realize that the birth of the Lord is important. We've been talking about that over the last few weeks because we've been dealing with Luke's gospel, and we've been going through this story. Last time, we thought about the fact that there's so much hustle and bustle in the world today that sometimes we don't do like Mary. We don't just take time to ponder these things in our hearts and realize that while the world would talk about a Merry Christmas, that really the Lord would talk about joy. Perhaps in the day the Bible was written, joy and merriment meant the same thing. But in my mind, merriment is associated with partying, and joy is associated with the inner peace that we get when we come to Christ and trust Him and realize that we are secure in His love, not only for time, but for eternity. The joy of the Lord is our strength, and the Lord did bring joy into the world, but we've been reminded that if we ponder these things, we'll be reminded that the Lord knew His destiny when He came into this world, and His destiny was to be the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. So as you come together to celebrate a Merry Christmas today and to give gifts one to another, I hope that you won't get so involved with the tinsel and noise of what is taking place that you'll forget that the reason that we are celebrating today is because the Lord sent His Son into the world to save sinners. He was called Jesus because He would save His people from their sins. There's no better place to read the gospel story than to read John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." We know that the Lord was never accepted as a popular figure in the world of His day. He came from Nazareth. He was born in an outside place. Even though there were those who loved Him and who followed Him and who believed in Him, though they didn't understand some of the things that we understand today about Him having to suffer before He could reign, yet they followed Him and they were loyal to Him. But by and large, the world has rejected Him. And one thing that concerns me about Christmas is that it is a popular way of worshiping the Lord, and it is something that the multitudes do. And I sit back sometimes and wonder how many people that are opening gifts today, how many people that are supposedly celebrating our Christian heritage today, how many of those people have really repented and believed the gospel that the Lord brought presented to the world. When in Luke chapter 4, we'll find out, He stood up and said He's going to preach deliverance to the captive, the recovering of sight to the blind. He's going to set at liberty those that are bruised. He was going to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And surely for those of us who have received Him as our Savior, there is joy today. Not necessarily merriment in the partying sense, but there is joy in our hearts today. We have a secure future. And we have a loving Lord, and let's don't leave Him out of our thinking, out of our festivities today as we think about the reason that we are all gathered together to enjoy one another's company today. Now, today, I really want to jump ahead in our story to Luke chapter 3. We're going to read from verses 1 through 8, and we're going to begin looking at John the Baptist's ministry and preaching. As we think of the Lord coming into the world, He did not begin presenting Himself publicly until there was a herald that went before him, and that herald, the one who proclaimed that he was the coming Messiah, was John the Baptist. We've read about John the Baptist being born 6 months before the Lord was born, how that Elizabeth and Zacharias had this child by promise because they were too old to have children. And now this child is going to begin the work of telling the Jews and thus the whole world that they need to be prepared for this coming king. That is, nobody really receives this coming king without first understanding their own sinnership and repenting. And the Jews needed to do that because the Lord had dispersed Israel in the Old Testament into all the nations. He had judged them because they had turned away from him. And now it's time, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, to turn from idols to serve the living and true God. And the way they're going to serve the living and true God is by recognizing that the Lord is who he claimed to be and putting their trust in him. Would the Jews do that after being rebellious all these years? Well, you know the end of the story. There are a few that do, in fact, trust the Lord, but the multitude reject the ministry of John the Baptist. He ends up having his head taken off. There's the majority reject the ministry of the Lord. He ends up on a cross. And today, the question is, do we ourselves join with the multitudes who are religious and who give a superficial recognition to the stories of the Bible, but in most cases believing them to be fables and myths? Or are we amongst the few who have truly been ministered to by the message of John the Baptist and then by the coming of the Lord, who was willing to be the sacrifice for our sins? So in Luke chapter 3 and verse 1 we read, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip tetrarch of Judea and the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias tetrarch of Abilene." In other words, he's establishing exactly the historical truth of what is being written. "While Ananias and Sapphira and Caiaphas were high priests, the word of God came to John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission or forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God.' And that salvation was in Christ. Then he said to the multitudes that came out to be baptized by him, 'Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance, or in keeping with true repentance. And do not begin to say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father," for I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones." We trust the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. So as we move from the baby in Bethlehem's manger to about 30 years later, we see John the Baptist being the herald that goes before the king. As a king would come into a city, there would be one who would cry that the king was coming, and John was really doing that, and he's saying, "Get ready for him, make your hearts right." And so he preached all around Judea. He preached from the Old Testament. His ministry was simple, but it was effective. And it's interesting that as we look at this ministry having to do with repentance, many people misunderstand what repentance really is. In the Bible, repentance has works associated with it, and repentance has salvation associated with it. In 2 Peter 3, we find out that the Lord is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, just as faith has works associated with it, and we find out that faith has works associated with it, and both are commanded. Really, I am convinced that true repentance ends up in true faith. That is, we all believe something we ought not to believe, and we have our trust in something we ought not to have our trust in, and it takes dealings with God to repent and believe the gospel, which we are commanded to do. But if we have truly repented, we have truly believed. And so you can ask yourself, if you've truly repented, not so much by the works you do, but by what you understand Christ did for you. And that will affect the works you do. Others will see the works you do and will realize you've repented. But in your own case, your assurance is going to come from the truth that you rely on, that Christ is the coming Messiah, or was the coming Messiah, that he is trustworthy, and that when we trust him, he becomes a sacrifice for our sins, and we're saved, and we're on our way to heaven. So true repentance leads to true faith. And they were then baptized on account of the remission of sins. They weren't baptized to get the remission of sins. They were baptized by him, but it was because of a heart that had been changed that they were baptized. At least John was assuming their hearts were changed, but he realized that many he baptized were doing it just because it was the thing to do. And so he says, bring forth fruits worthy of repentance, and don't say to yourselves, I'm okay because I'm of the right lineage. I'm from Israel. I have the right pedigree, so to speak. There was a lot of pride on the part of a Jewish person because of the fact that they had Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as their fathers. They had the traditions of the elders. They had the oracles of God. And he's saying that's not good enough. Don't think that just because you have Abraham as your father, that that's going to save you. You've got to turn from your sin of idolatry and unbelief to the Lord and receive him, because the Lord is able of these stones, for I say that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones. And in a sense, the Gentiles are the stones that God does raise up children to Abraham from, because we find out Abraham was the father of faith, and those of us who trust in the Lord, we are children of God by faith, not by a natural birth, but by a new birth. And so it's extremely important that we listen to the ministry of John the Baptist, this need to have our minds changed, and the evidence of it being in the works that we do is necessary for us to come to faith. And I trust that as we think of the Lord Jesus today, that we have truly turned from what we thought was right and what we thought would save us, and from our own works and from our own pride, to simply and humbly trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. Then we will have received the message of John the Baptist. Then we will have received the coming King that John the Baptist was the herald telling us about. Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for blessing upon our program today, and we pray for blessing upon all who are listening. We know there's needs out there. Some may even be lonely. We trust you'll meet those needs, but most of all, help people understand the blessing of trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ today. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless our program as we commit it to you in our Savior's name. Amen. Now, our address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.faithweb.com, bdcministries.faithweb.com, and we do thank you for listening.